He's a former first-class cricketer and a qualified pilot, but he's also the grandson of a South African business icon, as well as being the man tasked with leading the country's hockey team to next year's Olympics. That's after winning nearly 150 caps for South Africa. Oh, and get this, he's engaged to the captain of the Dutch women's hockey team.
That is the situation here, and fortunately not too much hockey is spoken outside of the hockey pitch. We do have the occasional hockey chat, but it's very limited, and yeah, no, it's a, I think it's a unique situation, but yeah, we seem to be enjoying the company at the moment.
I mean, jokes aside, it that must be quite difficult to keep hockey out of conversation, considering that you're both hockey pros.
It is, but it also, yeah, we know where the line is, and we try to keep a fairly solid balance between hockey, which is, yeah, it's 24/7 for us, and then we come home and relax, and we switch off, and we talk about different things. But yeah, it's occasionally one of us will be watching video from a game from the weekend before, and we'll ask for an opinion, or we'll just put it to one side. But yeah, it's interesting dynamics, but it's, yeah, we're dealing with it quite well at the moment.
Now, yeah, your fiance Eva de Goede, she's a two-time World Player of the Year. Where did you guys meet on the hockey circuit?
She claims that we met at a tournament, which World Cup in Den Haag. I thought it was a bit earlier, but yeah, she cleared her side, and I knew I was punching above my weight then. So it was through a friend, and she's been back and forth to South Africa since then, and unfortunately I decided to put on my big boy pants and commit to this relationship, and yeah, I haven't regretted one bit at all.
And have you guys set a date?
We haven't. It's just been very unpredictable. We're looking at a legal wedding here in Holland next year, and then hopefully a good scoop in South Africa in 2 years' time. But yeah, it's just so unpredictable. And with her family based here, mine in South Africa, someone has to travel. So we're just going to balance it out and see when I'm not broke, and hopefully we can crack on with a good wedding.
And where is home back in South Africa, Tim?
I live in Durban, so the folks I've been based there for, yeah, a good 15 years. My siblings are in Cape Town, and that's the big rivalry between the number one province of Durban and then Cape Town, but I think everyone seems to be migrating back to the Cape.
Let's talk about that KZN background, because you were schooled there at Hilton, and obviously you played hockey at school, but also you played cricket to quite a senior level. I mean, I see you shared an Natal Academy with David Miller and went as far as to play first-class cricket for KZN Inland. When did you know you had to call that quits and focus on your hockey?
Yeah, I really enjoy my cricket. And funny enough, in July this year, I had two games for a local club side here. So that was great fun, because I hadn't picked up the bat for a good 10 years. And I think it was a point when hockey was becoming quite demanding. And for me to play at a high level, or to maintain a high level of hockey, I had to travel and play in certain clubs around the world. So, yeah, it was at that point when I was just playing 3 months in Europe and then coming back to South Africa for 1 month and then going back for a tournament that I had to make a decision that, yeah, cricket just wasn't working out at that point. And, yeah, fortunately did the hockey route, and, yeah, I'm very grateful that I've gone this way.
A tough call though, Tim, because, I mean, certainly in South Africa, commercially and financially, you know, cricket would be arguably a more attractive proposition. But was hockey just your first love and one that you saw a greater career in?
No, funny enough, I really thought cricket would be the career for me, and I put all my time and energy into that, and I just wasn't cracking. I just wasn't getting big enough scores and making it to the next level. And hockey at the time, I just was really enjoying it that much more. I was traveling the world. I was meeting some incredible people and going to places that I never thought I would go to. So, for example, we had to do an Olympic qualifier in Japan. So that was 2 months before the London Olympics. And yeah, I never thought I'd be able to visit Japan, and just grew some incredible friendships, and just hockey kept going. And then, yeah, fortunately ended up here in Holland, where you can get a little bit of money from it and then find a job through the club or through the hockey network. So yeah, it was a tough call many years ago, and I just thought cricket would be the career, but yeah, this has worked out, and I'm very grateful I've gone this route.
Let's talk about making a living out of hockey, Tim, because like I said earlier, you know, certainly in South Africa, it's very difficult, and it's it seems to be that most of South Africa's top players have to play in Europe just to make some sort of decent living. I mean, give us a sense of how many of the men's national squad are currently doing that.
Yeah, it's a very tricky situation, but we know that in the men's squad, that for us to really improve our level and to compete against these top countries and nations in the world who are pretty much on professional programs, as it were, that we have to challenge ourselves against them week in and week out. And for us, that's in Europe or the UK. And we've got about 15 guys based in Europe and the UK at the moment, which is incredible. And that's just getting bigger and bigger. We've just got another player, Pivo Lembete, who's gone to Ireland. So the guys are doing their best to really improve their level of hockey. And unfortunately, with the system it is and the situation it is back home, that, yeah, we're just not playing enough competitive hockey and training at a top elite level. So that's the beauty of playing here in Europe. That's, yeah, trainings are at a really high level. You're playing against international players each weekend, and that's only going to strengthen your own game.
So it's a combination of obviously improving the quality of the men's national squad, playing against such strong players, but also then commercially ensuring that you guys make some sort of living out of the sport.
Yeah, so yeah, there are very few of us that are actually getting paid a solid wage. So the guys will be there coaching, or they'll be finding other jobs on top of playing hockey here in Holland and or in Europe. And yeah, we know that, but we also know that there's a bigger picture, and that we are trying to really improve our rankings as a national squad and the profile of the SA men's team. So yeah, that's the sacrifice that comes with the territory. And yeah, we really look forward to something special, hopefully in Tokyo next year.
With that in mind, Tim, do you think it's punching above your weight to be ranked? I think you guys are ranked 14 at the moment in the world. You think, with that in mind and the situation in South Africa, that's still a pretty good effort considering what you guys have to go through as a national squad?
I do think it is a good effort, but I also don't think it's the level where we think we potentially could be. We've had a good few months of Zoom calls and culture sessions, and it's been so interesting to hear what the guys have got to say. And funny enough, a lot of these outcomes from these Zoom calls have all been controllables from our situation, and nothing about sponsors, nothing about our situation or anything. So we know we can improve as players by a good 10-15%, and whether that's our basics or just our physical fitness. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting time next year. We know it's super busy, but we've got such an opportunity to really climb the rankings, and we fully believe we can get into the top 10.
Let's look at the model in South Africa, Tim, from a high performance point of view, and your old teammate Lloyd Norris Jones caught some interest a month or so back when he posted a long Facebook post suggesting a new high performance model for South Africa, basing all of the locally based players in Johannesburg, for example, and finding them coaching positions. I mean, that's just the bare bones of his proposal. You obviously saw it. What are your thoughts on Lloyd's proposal?
I actually haven't seen it, but I know we, as a squad, have been in contact, and actually with Brett Tucker and some other members of our staff about a high performance plan. And I strongly support it. If we are really going to try and make hockey a sport that is competitive within the top 10 nations in the world, then we really need to spend more time together as players and as a group. And if we can find a centrally based province or somewhere where the guys can all train and play together for 3 days a week, and then you go on and work or go and finish your studies, then yeah, I think that would be incredible. And I just see the way the Dutch national ladies are spending time together, and it shows the cohesion in the squad and the results and the effort and time they put in, that yeah, it's definitely so beneficial in the long term.
Does it frustrate you, Tim, that a sport like hockey, that obviously, you know, your number one sport and your love and where you're building a career, doesn't enjoy the commercial support in South Africa that would allow perhaps the national squad to spend more time together in a high performance environment?
Yes, I would be lying if I said it didn't slightly frustrate me. But I do believe that it's up to us to really do something special. If you look at the way the Springboks with the World Cup, and it just leads to different opportunities. So we can't be sympathetic towards ourselves. We really need to put a big performance in it. That happens at the Tokyo Olympics, and that's what we're striving for. then yeah, hopefully that will happen. But we've got to really knuckle down and produce some good results, and then we can say, yeah, maybe what happened about this, or this is frustrating. But at the moment, we haven't really produced any major results. London Olympics were really close. We had some really tight results, but we didn't really break anything to write home about, or to approach a company or a sponsor that would go with us for the long-term future.
How would you compare the quality of this men's national squad now leading up to next year's Olympics with those that have come before?
Yeah, it's a huge privilege to be in the squad at the moment. There's so much potential and talent within the squad. We've got a great balance, and to avoid all these cliches about having experience in youth, we've got it all at the moment, and we've got a good coaching structure and support management staff in place, and there's so much room for growth, and it's exciting to be in the squad. We had a series in January and February, and when we see some of the play happening there, I haven't seen that for a long, long time. So I'm fortunate as one of the old members to be in the squad, and I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in the next sort of 6 months or so.
But now, South African hockey has a rich history, and it's obviously gone through its ups and downs, and there have been various fights with SASCOC about getting to Olympics. But South African hockey produced some world-class players of the year, despite a lack of funding. I mean, if you look at the likes of your Greg Nicholls and your P.T. Kutsiers, and I mean, at one stage, South Africa had arguably the two greatest strikers in the world. Did you play with Greg Nicholl, and what was that like?
No, fortunately, I didn't have the privilege of playing with him, but I did play with some of his teammates in his era, and I was fortunate to be in a club where, and we've just started a WhatsApp group the last sort of month with the Durban Tech Club. That was I had the captain and coach, Mike Cullen. So, yeah, it was incredible to be surrounded by those sort of players, and just to see what they achieved in such an amateur environment, and how willing they were to sacrifice, whether it was certain careers or financially, and just to go and showcase their skills on an international stage. So, yeah, like you said, we've got a rich history, and it's about time now that I think we really do promote the sport and get it to the level where it should be. And the hockey community is a special community in South Africa, and yeah, I'm really excited to get some exposure for everyone within the community.
Let's look at Arthur Field now, Tim, you're 32 now, so I'd imagine you've got one eye on post-hockey career, what you're going to be up to. Does that involve flying? Because I believe you're a qualified pilot. Is that just with your PPL? Have you got your commercial license yet as well?
No, that's just my PPL at the moment, and that's why I'm probably been broke for the last few years. But yeah, fortunately with the way hockey is in South Africa, we have one eye on a career for your entire hockey career, and I think that's the real pro of being in our environment, that you can't just rely on hockey. You've got to either finish your studies or crack on with work, and that's what the guys in the South can set up for the last sort of 10-15 years. They've known that hockey is a very small part of it, and doesn't define us, and we know that we have to get a career going. And so hopefully once I finish here, whether it's going into flying or going into any form of career, that it's straight into career, and there's no lull period where it's a long transition. But the flying has been a passion for many years, and yeah, I was looking at the KLM Flight Academy in Holland, but unfortunately I need a EU passport, so that door might be closed. But yeah, if I can get anything in the aviation or that industry, then I'll be very fortunate.
Looking at your family, Tim, you mentioned you've got roots in KZN, and you've got siblings in Cape Town. But I believe you had quite a famous grandmother in the form of Pam Golding, the real estate mogul. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So is that on your mother's side?
That's on my mom's side. Yeah.
I mean, how much time did you spend with her growing up? And that must have been quite a privilege, because obviously she built an incredible real estate empire.
Yeah, she was an incredible role model and a fierce lady, hugely competitive, but such a kind heart. And I was very lucky to share many good times with her and my grandpa, and many fond memories growing up in Cape Town and also in Amanus. So we'll never forget those times and cherish the good times. She knew how to party, and I think she's definitely left that legacy within the company, that everyone works hard but then really enjoys themselves outside the office.
Tim, as we move towards closing, what are some of the, we touched on at the start, some of the things that you and Eva like to to get away from hockey with. What about some of your sort of video or musical tastes? Give us a sense of what Tim Drummond likes.
Well, besides the, so we're very close to the ocean here, so that's luckily a huge passion for both of us, just to get out there, whether it's any surfing or paddling or just strolls on the beach or coffees at the ocean. But I'm very limited on the dance floor, unlike Ava. She's got some great rhythm, so I'll generally be at the bar ordering the drinks while she's ripping it up on the dance floor. But yeah, musically, yeah, anything with the guitar involved. During lockdown, we've both been trying to improve our guitar playing, and yeah, so there's a wide range of activities that we will try and get involved in. But yeah, it's generally everything away from hockey and just to switch off and unwind.
You guys binged watching anything recently, or any video content or series that has caught your eye, or you as a couple have consumed together?
We have. We've gone through quite a few Netflix shows and Amazon Prime shows, and there've been some standouts. Yeah, The Man in the High Castle was definitely one that caught our attention for a very short space of time, but we managed to just binge it completely in a few days. And looking forward to the new David Attenborough film. We're both big into nature and into the environment, so looking forward to getting stuck into that.
Now, you're an engaged man now, so I'd imagine that as modern times dictate, you could have to brush up on your cooking skills as you move towards married life. Are you a dab hand in the kitchen, Tim, or is that something that Ava takes care of?
I would like to believe I do most of the cooking in the house. We share it, I think I'll be fair to say. But yeah, so a huge passion for the kitchen as well. Tried to watch growing up with my old lady and two sisters, tried to listen and watch as much as I could in the kitchen. And yeah, so much to improve though. But yeah, a big fan of the kitchen and baking, funny enough. I've definitely destroyed many pots and pans and ovens in the kitchen. But yeah, it's a huge passion, and we've got stuck into some good baking over the lockdown period.
Lastly, Tim, what for you would be the ultimate next year at the Olympics? Obviously, you know, it goes without saying that you'd love to win an Olympic medal, but what do you think would represent a good result for South Africa's men's national hockey team going to Tokyo next year?
Yeah, the dream is always a medal, and we've said that as a group, that we've got to have that dream. If that dream's up there, then we need to have a hard conversation. But we really are motivated to try and to break out of our pool and do something special after that. But we're also getting across to the group that the bigger picture is that we just want to give just a bit of hope to people back home in South Africa. We want a kid to pick up a hockey stick, or someone who didn't think about exercise to then maybe go walk around the block. And that's it's a big aspiration for us as a squad, and we're really nailing down our mission statement for next year in Tokyo. But if we can continue to keep that bigger picture in mind, then yeah, I strongly believe we're going to put in some really good performances.
Here's holding thumbs that Drummond's team can spring an upset or two in Tokyo next year. If not, you get the sense the next chapter in the Tim Drummond story is going to be just as interesting, more than likely made up of plenty of flying and the odd pastry or two.